Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with this evening and join in the conversation. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's our number, 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, and there are a few current events going on, in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Again, we just ask that you would use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to be encouragement and help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And lot to talk about, but before we do that, I just want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me and also more about our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we'd love to invite you to visit if you're up in the area in northeastern Ohio, especially if you're in between Akron and Cleveland. Sometime we'd love to have you visit at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that can take you over to our page for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church as well. And also there's links to some other things there, a variety of articles and things that I've written, as well as past programs and a number of other things that you can find at livewithpastoral.com. And let me encourage you to check that out. Also, in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today, actually, I believe it's September 18th, is our church anniversary. Pray for us. We have our church anniversary coming up. And if you want to visit us sometime, that'd be a great time to visit. We're going to have a special program and a meal after the morning service. We'll be talking more about that next week. But that's our church anniversary coming up 2 weeks from today. And let's see. Well, let's see. Anything happening in the world right now? Let me think. Oh, yeah. I think it was a recent speech by one president and another. In fact, we had President Trump, of course, had a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania on Saturday. And, well, let me see if I can do this as somewhat of a word picture. You had people that were smiling and happy and cheering and clapping and positive and optimistic and talking about making America great again. And it was well lit and It was full of patriotism and optimism and all this sort of stuff. And then a few days before that, there was, I'm not really sure how to describe it, this kind of a sinister spectacle, I guess you could say, that was put on in all places in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which was dark, foreboding, deep black shadows, blood red lighting. I've never seen Independence Hall look so sinister. You know, the birthplace of the United States Constitution, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. And it was one of the most dark, foreboding, sinister, as many people, and I'm not talking about just Christians, many people described it as satanic looking. And this was not an accidental a thing. This is something that was planned well in advance. The speech was planned out. The lighting was planned out. The location was planned out. They did everything they could to make this look as sinister as possible. I was talking about this on our Friday radio program here in northeastern Ohio. And if you want to listen to that program, go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll see the picture of Joe Biden with the blood red lighting, the silhouetted Marine standing behind him, the deep black shadows with him with his upraised clenched fists shaking and yelling just such a dark, foreboding, just negative, pessimistic view that was being presented there, in contrast with the bright, cheerful, optimistic, patriotic presentation at President Trump's rally just a few days later. And I talked a bit about Joe Biden's speech there at Independence Hall. And I want to continue talking about some of that because I really didn't get a chance to talk about everything that I covered then. But I wanted to touch on some more of the spiritual issues that I think were represented there. And for this, and we're going to get to our callers here in a little bit, but our phone number is 888-677-9673. And in Ephesians chapter 6, and this, I've never seen such a blatant example of Ephesians chapter 6 like I did on Thursday night. And by the way, I did watch the entire speech, the entire spectacle that Joe Biden put on, probably should say his handlers put on. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says this. I'm going to start in verse number 10 where Paul's writing. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And then he goes on to talk about the armor of God in the following verses there. But this idea here that he said here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, where he's talking about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, this is, I think, what we saw on display in Philadelphia on last Thursday night. We saw a display of the spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me explain what I mean by that. And this is why I wanted to spend some time talking about this at the beginning of the program. And we will get to our callers here in a few minutes. But what Paul is warning about is that the battle that we see that's happening around us, the fight that we're in, isn't purely a natural battle. There is a supernatural side to it. And this is the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. This points to the spiritual battle that's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, Paul also writes about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where he talks about the mystery of iniquity that's at work in the world. He says in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." And he's talking about how it's working in the world right now. The mystery of iniquity is how the devil is working in the world behind the scenes, trying to orchestrate events. There are things that he wants to bring to pass. There's things that he's trying to accomplish. If you read the Bible makes it very clear that there is coming a time when there will be a one-world government. And the one-world government is going to be led by an individual that the Bible refers to in various ways as the son of perdition here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He calls him verse number 3, the man of sin and the son of perdition. He's also referred to as the beast, the antichrist, and a few other titles throughout Scripture. And this individual is going to be satanically motivated and empowered to be able to become this world leader. And many of the other people in the world will fall prey to satanic delusion, which will cause them to follow after him, and many of them even to believe that this man is God. And that's one of the things that Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says that he is going to, in verse number 4, that as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so there'll be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem where the Antichrist will go in, this man of sin, the son of perdition, and he will declare himself to be God. This is probably about the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period, which is yet future, and will happen sometime after the catching away of the believers. The Antichrist will come to power. You can see where he approves a covenant, signs a covenant with the Jewish people. Daniel chapter 9 talks about that. And he begins this world government that will have 10 regional kings under him, or rulers under him. And as I've said before in this program, I've been kind of following some of this stuff since the 1970s, and it's interesting how over and over these various globalist groups like to divide the world into 10 administrative regions, 10 political regions, 10 economic regions, things like that. And the Bible says they will be these 10 regions, and that three of them apparently are going to cause trouble for the Antichrist, as he declares himself, you know, the ruler over them all, and there's going to be some dissension there. But as he comes to power, it's going to be the devil himself that empowers him, and fallen angels, what we refer to commonly as demons, better description or better a better word is actually devils. Fallen angels, and these are going to be moving throughout the world, and they're going to have a greater liberty to be able to deceive people than what they have today, and they have pretty good ability to deceive people today. But right now, the devil is trying to bring these things to fruition, but Paul said the mystery of iniquity doth already work until he who letteth, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, letteth and let there is not in the permissive sense. It's in the restrictive sense. It's translated from the same Greek word that you get in verse 6, where it says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he, meaning the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. He's being withheld from being revealed. And the same word translated as withholdeth there is translated as letteth here. And it's the same word. So letteth there is like we use in legal documents, without letter hindrance. So it's in the restrictive or hindrance sense, not in the permissive allowing something sense. And you say, well, why did it say that? Well, we use that word that way today still, like I said, in legal documents and other settings. So that's not a problem with that. That's just you compare Scripture with Scripture. But until the hindrance, that which is restraining the mystery of iniquity, is taken out of the way, the Antichrist is not going to come to fruition. Now, before you think I'm saying that Joe Biden is the Antichrist, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that we see there's a spiritual battle where the devil wants to bring things to pass. He wants to bring about this one world government, and we do have groups like the World Economic Forum with many people, many world leaders that are signed on to this plan. You know, non-entities like Trudeau in Canada, Prince Charles in Great Britain, Macron in France, even such other people you probably haven't heard about, like Zelensky in Ukraine and Putin in China or in Russia and others. Most of your major world leaders have all been involved in this, and have indicated that they're supportive of these plans by the World Economic Forum. I was posting something on this online one time and had somebody said, "Oh, that's just a right-wing conspiracy thing. There's really nothing to it. There's nobody of importance involved in that, except that virtually everybody involved in it you see about major world figures." But they are being prevented from achieving their goals. You ever ask yourself, why is it that the left hates Donald Trump so much? Have you ever wondered about that? Is it just because he's Donald Trump, or is it something else? I believe it's something else. What happened when Donald Trump became president is he prevented Hillary Clinton from becoming president, and Barack Obama had gone a long way into, as he said in his campaign, Barack Obama said that he would be fundamentally transforming America. And he set a lot of things in motion and had it set so that when Hillary Clinton came in, I believe they thought that their goals of realizing world government was within their grasp. But God intervened. The mystery of iniquity was working, but God intervened and prevented that from happening. And that's how Donald Trump got in as president. So for 4 years, we were given a reprieve. He set them back considerably. And there's been other things that you can look at that has hindered them in their efforts. And so they were set back. But one of these days, the Spirit of God is going to change from the present ministry that we see where he's working through believers. Remember, the Bible tells us we're to be salt and light in the world. We're supposed to be making a difference. Light shines and brings out or dispels the darkness. Salt as a way of preserving and actually improving things. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But let me tell you, when that trumpet sounds and God calls the believers out of the world, the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now that began on the day of Pentecost is going to change. And he who's now hindering or letting is not going to be doing that anymore in the way that he is now, because he's taken out of the way. The believers are gone. The Spirit of God is in you. If you know Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is in you right now. You're sealed until the day of redemption. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when that trumpet sounds and you're caught up to be with the Lord in the air, God's Spirit is going to change in his current form of ministry in the world, and the mystery of iniquity will suddenly have free course, and the first of the seven seals of the seven sealed book in Revelation chapter 5, it begins to be open in chapter 6, will be, I believe, the Antichrist coming to power. That's the white horse with the rider on it. And as the Antichrist comes to power, he's going to realize his global governing plans. But there's a spiritual battle, the mystery of iniquity. That's the devil working and his forces working to bring these things to pass. And the Spirit of God is working in the world to oppose that right now, and he's working through us as believers. And the holy angels of God are also working in the world, and so we face this spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Daniel gave us a glimpse of this in Daniel chapter 10. And I know I'm speaking a little while here at the beginning of the program. We'll get to our callers here eventually, but I just want to share some of these things. In Daniel chapter 10, we read where Daniel has a vision. And he doesn't know what it means, and so he spends 3 weeks in prayer and fasting asking God to help him, to show him what this meant. And after 3 weeks, the Bible says that an angel appears before him. It says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 5, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." This sounds a lot like the appearance of Jesus to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, but it's not Jesus. This is an angel that you'll see is made clear here as we go along. And verse 7, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption. I retained no strength, and yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." In other words, he fainted. He fainted dead away, and he fell on his face. And it says in verse 10, "Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Verse 12, "Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." What this angel is telling Daniel is the very first day, 3 weeks ago, when you first began to pray and to fast, and asking God for understanding of this vision, he says, "I was sent right then." So why did it take this angel 3 weeks to reach Daniel with the answer to Daniel's prayer, to give him understanding of the vision? Well, the angel tells him here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he makes this statement. He says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," let me pause there for a moment. At this particular time, Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire, is the preeminent empire in the world here. They are about to give way to the Greeks, who are going to overtake them. They had overcome the Babylonians, and the Babylonians, of course, had been the preeminent empire, and then the Medo-Persian empires followed the Babylonian Empire, the Greek Empire followed the Persian Empire. And the prince of the kingdom of Persia, is very clear as you read through this, is not a human leader. This entity is an angelic figure. And in this particular case, it's a fallen angel, what we would call a devil or a demon. This is one of the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is one that represents spiritual wickedness in high places. What Daniel chapter 10 gives us is a look behind the veil at the spiritual battle that takes place behind the scenes that we only see the symptoms of. And behind the scenes, there were fallen angels seeking to influence the kingdom of Persia. And one of them, described as the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this angel says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, that's 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Now, Michael, one of the chief princes, this is Michael the archangel. This is one of the holy angels. And he says, he came to help me. This angel says, I was battling this angel, this fallen angel that was influencing Persia, was preventing me from getting through to you, Daniel, with the answer to your prayer. And as we battled for 3 weeks, he says, Michael came to help me. He said, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Kings of Persia mean there's more than just one angel, both fallen and holy angels that were seeking to influence Persia, and this battle took place. Michael assisted this angel. He broke through, and he says in verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." And he goes on to talk to him there, and then after he's done giving him the information, he says in verse 20, he says, "Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." And the prince of Grecia, that's because the Greeks are about to supplant the Persians and become the dominant empire. And so there's these battles that are taking place behind the scenes. This is the fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that speech on Thursday night, with that blood-red background and the deep, dark shadows and just the sinister, satanic feel, is amazing. Listening to people after the speech, unsaved people, saying it had a satanic feel, looked like a haunted house, looked like something sinister. And, you know, this, I believe, is where we've seen evidence of the spiritual wickedness in high places that is trying to get a hold of this nation. You know, we've got I'm not sure on the time here. My time went off on the thing, this monitor here. I was going to look over at the time to see where we're at. I've got a clip that I want to play, and I'm not sure how much time I have. Hopefully we'll get a response on the time here in a minute. I have no time in here, so I don't know what time we're at. How much time do we have before the break? The clock went out. Okay, I don't have enough time to do everything I wanted to because I'm talking here. But I want to play a clip here, and I want you to pay attention. These are things that Joe Biden said in Philadelphia on Thursday night, and I'm going to talk about some of these things here. If we don't have enough time, I'll talk about them after the break. But listen to this. This is what was said in this speech, this dark, foreboding speech in Philadelphia last Thursday night.
Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. We're all called by duty and conscience to confront extremists who put their own pursuit of power above all else. Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans, we must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
You know, you just heard Joe Biden addressing the country, essentially saying that half the country are enemies of this nation. And one of the things that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, which is coming up here shortly, is this statement that MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards to an America where you have no right to choose, no right to privacy. You know what that's a reference to, of course, don't you? That's referring to abortion. And this, again, is evidence of the spiritual battle that we're involved in, and evidence of spiritual wickedness in high places. This not just simply wanting abortion, but demanding and insisting that if you don't support abortion on demand all the way up to and including after birth, you are an enemy of the state. And then, of course, no right to marry whom you love. That has to do with same-sex marriage, which God says is an abomination. If you hold biblical values, you are an enemy, according to Joe Biden. Again, this is evidence of the spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to talk about this some more, and we're going to get to your calls in the second half. Stay tuned. Don't go away. Got our half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now, let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we were talking about Joe Biden's little sinister spectacle that he put on in Philadelphia last Thursday night, and the evidence of the spiritual battle that we're involved in that was shown in that spectacle. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. But I want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find not only more information about me and about our program here, you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of our program. And you can also check out some of the different articles and things that I have there and listen to past programs. I also want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight in addition to being brought to you by my home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, I want to get back into some things here with the program, and just following up on where we were listening to some clips from Joe Biden's speech, and in the speech that he had identified essentially as enemies of the state, people who were against abortion, and people who were against same-sex marriage. And he went on to say, after saying and pointing these people out, he said this. He said this. This is like two lines later. This would be more than two lines later. I'm going to try to get down here, where he calls us a threat to America. And he says about, but while the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy. And there's a problem there. This ongoing attack on democracy that he's talking about, in the first place, let me ask you a quick question. I dealt with this in our program this past Friday. We have a program here in Northeastern Ohio. You can find it online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I dealt with this part a great deal on our last Friday program. And the idea that America is not, nor ever has been, a democracy. In fact, you can search through the Constitution, you can search through the Declaration of Independence, you'll never see America referred to as a democracy. So what is America? If we're not a democracy, what are we? Well, America, according to the Constitution of the United States, is a constitutional republic. We are a republic, not a democracy. Here's Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Now, this doesn't mean the Republicans have to be in charge as opposed to the Democrats. Somebody republic, a republican form of government refers to a republic. America is not, nor has it ever been, a democracy. It frustrates me even when conservatives that should know better refer to America as a democracy. A republic, specifically a constitutional republic, is a nation of laws, and it protects the rights of minorities. Here's what I mean. If we were a democracy, it would be like two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for supper. The two wolves vote for lamb chops, and of course the lamb objects. But it's a democracy, the majority rules, and the lamb is the guest, is the main course for dinner that night, and has no recourse. And in a constitutional republic, you know, you may have a group of wolves that vote for lamb chops, but the lamb can stand up and say, wait a minute, we are a nation of laws, and we have laws on the books. You can't eat me. And we have, decided this already, and he can make an appeal. I know that's a grossly simplified thing, but just remember, America is not, nor ever has been, a democracy. But that's all Joe Biden talked about in his speech, is this democracy, this democracy, this democracy, enemies of democracy, democracy's under attack. I'm telling you, I don't want to live under a democracy, and I'm thankful we don't, because a democracy really amounts to mob rule. Let's say that you bought a nice new car, and you're really proud of that car. You love the car. It's a nice car, and the people in your neighborhood admire the car, and they say, you know what? You ought to let everybody in the neighborhood drive your car. And you say, well, no, it's my car. I saved up for it. I bought it. And they say, well, you know, we're a democracy, so let's vote on it. Everybody in the neighborhood votes to allow the neighborhood to drive your car whenever they want to. And you vote saying, no, you can't do that. It's my car. Guess what happens? everybody in the neighborhood gets to drive your car because you were overruled. Majority rules. Democracy is oftentimes, like I said, mob rule. It can become a thugocracy in one sense. They can do whatever they want, but you can, in a constitutional republic, stand up and say, wait a minute, we're a nation of laws. We respect private property in this nation. And you know what? I've got this little document you might have heard of that has a Bill of Rights in it, the first 10 amendments. And when you look at this Bill of Rights in the Fourth Amendment, it says the right of the people to be secure in their person, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. You can't seize my car. That's some of my effects there. That's some of my things. And then here, if you don't like that one, here's the Fifth Amendment, where it says that I can't be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. I have rights, and those rights thwart the will of the majority, because in a democracy, you have no recourse. But in a constitutional republic, which thankfully we live in, we have recourse because we have rights. That was even recognized as far back as the Declaration of Independence, when these men came together and they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning that no reasonable person would deny them or not see or understand these things. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. They recognized that we have rights. Those rights were given to us by God. You know, the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution doesn't give us the right of free speech. It recognizes the right of free speech that we already have. It doesn't give us the right to be secure in our property. It recognizes the right that we already have, because they believe those rights came from our Creator. And so that's why I'm thankful that we live not in a democracy like Joe Biden was going on and on and on over and over on Thursday night about. We live in a constitutional republic, and I am thankful for it. I thank God for that. If we were in a democracy, you know, it would be mob rule. That's what it descends to. No, and the minority would have no recourse whatsoever. Well, getting back to what we were talking about, I think we saw a display of the diabolical power and the diabolical entities that are fighting in this country for the soul of this nation. It's interesting that he called it a speech talking about the soul of the nation. Well, we saw a battle for the soul of the nation going on, and I'm afraid it's not the forces of good that appear to be winning the day when you see a spectacle like that. It's the dark forces, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness. I mean, when you looked at that dark, foreboding setting that they carefully crafted in the location where our freedom and our constitutional republic was born and formed, and they crafted this dark, sinister, foreboding appearance. You know, the devil often signs his work, gives us little clues as to what he's doing. And I think that was a big clue right there. Well, there's more that's going to probably come out over that. Still wondering where this is going to go. Looks a lot like he's trying to prepare people for something, trying to telegraph a message. Much of his message was straight out of Saul Alinsky. If you've ever read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which incidentally was dedicated to the first, the first activist, I think he called it, Lucifer, meaning the devil. The book was dedicated to Satan. And Biden's speech was straight out of Saul Alinsky. Accuse your opponents of what you're guilty of. Sow confusion, sow division, these sorts of things. If you've never read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, let me encourage you to read it and know what you're up against. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know I've spent a good deal of time talking here tonight, but if you want to call in and continue the conversation here, you can. 888-677-9673 is the number tonight. 888-677-9673. And we have got, who called in first? I believe Nancy called in first. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. You covered those two speeches so well, and I really appreciate Biden's and Trump's speeches. Biden's on the September 1st and Trump's on September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed both of them in their entirety, and praise the Lord that on your Facebook you gave the links to the entire speeches, both those speeches, so I really appreciate that. So I listened to both of them in their entirety today. And I'll tell you, I already figured out that that was, because I put on your Facebook, Biden's speech was pure Saul Alinsky, because I read that book, Rules for Radicals.
Right.
I could not believe how he was following everything in that book. I mean, it was, now when I saw that red background, all the red lights and everything, I also thought of communism being red,
mm-hmm.
certainly not Republicans being red. But anyhow, those two speeches, like you pointed out, what a marked contrast between Biden's dark, forbidding, basically sort of satanic speech and Trump's uplifting speech. But anyhow, the question I wanted to ask you today was about rank file voting. I think it was Bob at our Bible study Friday night. He mentioned, I think Sarah Palin lost her Senate race in Alaska because of rank file voting. Is that legal for them to do that? I don't really understand it. It's like you can give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's your first choice? Second. Can you explain rank file voting? Do you think it's legal?
Well, I'm actually still learning about this, and we were asked about that a little bit on Friday night, and I just haven't had a chance to sit down with getting ready for Sunday. It's one of the challenges of pastoring a church and trying to do a radio program and other things all at the same time. I don't always get to everything, but basically it's a voting system in which voters rank their candidates in a sequence of first or second on their respective ballots. And I'm sure there's variations on it, but the systems, I think it's part of what, a lot of bad ideas start with good intentions, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think part of the idea is that they wanted to avoid runoff elections, or mm-hmm. they wanted to avoid the case where somebody wins by a slim majority so that they could get a more consensus candidate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea, if you have in some places two people run, for instance, let's go back to the Ohio governor race. We had, of course, mm-hmm. Governor DeWine, Jim Renacci, and Joe Blystone, right? And three were running and on the Republican ballot, okay, in the primaries. And
right.
Blystone really did take a lot of votes away from Renacci, and some people make the argument that had he not been in the race, that Renacci would have won the Republican nomination, not Governor DeWine.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was, what if you have several candidates, like say five candidates or something, and so you pick, sometimes in a runoff ballot, you would pick the top two vote-getters, and you would do a runoff election where only those two would be on the ballot. So let's say that because DeWine, I'm trying to think back, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm just trying to do this on a fly here for looking at Ohio governor primary. Let's say that since DeWine and Renacci were close, say within a certain margin, let's say like within two or three points, percentage points. So they decide, okay, we'll do a runoff election where since Blystone was pretty far out, we'll take him off the ballot and just run two candidates, Renacci, the top two, Renacci and DeWine. And then we'll have a runoff, and the voters for Blystone then would pick, do I want to put my vote now for Renacci or DeWine? And then whoever wins the runoff election would have been the winner. And, of course, it's expensive to run a runoff election, and there's other things, and plus people get upset sometimes the way things work out and all. So I think this was, in some senses, started with good intentions, that if you put this in with ranking candidates by preference, then you can put your first choice candidate, your second, your third, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that allows you in the one thing to go through and make these complicated calculations to decide which one or which candidate really won or who won the ballot, you know. And in Alaska's case, it wasn't necessarily that the Democrat got the most votes, over the Republican. It's just that the other people on the ticket and the way they marked their ballots gave it to the Democrat rather than the Republican. And so I just was looking up online here, and I guess states that have adopted this system, we've got Maine, we've got Alaska, obviously, Hawaii, Kansas, and Wyoming, and I think even Nevada perhaps has experimented with this. So there's, that's just a few. I'm just looking at something real close here, or I mean quick here. And so I think a lot of people may relook at this after what happened in Alaska. I personally think that having a runoff election is superior. Other than that, I really don't know enough about the rank file voting or, you know, how they do this and the reasoning behind it to go beyond that, except that if the state laws allow them to put this in place, then it would be legal within that state. But I don't know that it would be legal in regards to a federal election, like a presidential election, because I think there might be some federal election laws that would run afoul of. So that's why I think I would rather see a runoff election. You know, we could have had our primary, for instance, in Ohio back in May, and then had two candidates that were very close in a several candidate race, and then had a runoff election in say August when we had a second primary, and then we could have ran those in the runoff election and had a much more clear winner than even what we had under our current system. And other states would have similar things, I think. So.
Okay. Well, you explained it really well. So apparently, each state can decide if they want to have the rank file. You told me the states that did. But for a federal election, you say it's not established to be legal. Or
I have my doubts that it would be legal in a federal election. If the state tried to apportion their vote for president based on a rank file system.
Well, thank you very much. You probably have another call.
We'll get another caller coming, but I'm going to have to look up more on that because we were talking about a little bit after church today, and I still don't know enough about that. I'd like to learn more myself. But thanks for asking about that. Appreciate it. So
thank you.
And thank you, Nancy. And we've got Terry who's also waiting. Terry, welcome to the program tonight. All right, we'll have to have Terry call back. We lost Terry in the meanwhile. And I heard on the news as I was coming in today that in Western Canada, I guess there was a attack with a stabbing attack, 10 people killed, and I think it was about 15 people, I think they said, were injured in addition to the 10 that were killed. And it's unbelievable, you know. the idea was in Canada, if we get rid of guns, you won't have mass killings, right? Guess what just happened? It was a mass killing. 10 people is a mass killing. You know, I remember when there was a case in China, a guy took a sword and he went crazy on a train station platform and killed a bunch of people. So we do have mass killings. Is that Terry back? All right, we got Terry back. Welcome, Terry.
How are you doing? Well, you said a lot tonight.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Everything I've been thinking of, almost everything I've been thinking about, you talked about, you know, about what you accuse another person is what they're guilty of.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, just before you even said that.
Well,
another thing I was going to mention is that I didn't watch Biden's speech, but I read it, and I shook my head through the whole thing when I was reading it. All he talked about was democracy and Trump. He talked about Trump, what, three times or something?
Oh, much more than three times. I think he mentioned him by name at least three times, but he talked about him either directly or indirectly much more than three times. So,
and talk about dictating.
Yeah, and
I think that the country is leading into a dictating country.
Well, you know, this is what it looked like. If you looked at... I guess he mentioned Trump by name three times. You're right. But if you look at the type of things that all these dictators around the world have done, from, you know, Hitler and Mussolini, Stalin and Pol Pot and Mao Zedong and Fidel Castro and Mugabe in Africa there. It just over and over around the world, this type of imagery. And when I actually, to be honest, when I was watching it, I was waiting for him to announce that we've got a new program based on the East German Stasi informant program. The East German Stasi, the secret police during the Cold War. East Germany, of course, was behind the Iron Curtain. It was a communist country, and as opposed to West Germany that was free. And in East Germany, the Stasi had perhaps the largest, most widespread informant network that any nation has ever seen, where they had private citizens basically working as informants for the secret police. And I was ready when I saw the backdrop and heard the type of speech that he gave. I was ready for him to announce that he was going to establish a nationwide Stasi informant-like program. And it sure looked like that way. It sure felt that way. And when he didn't, I almost felt like, well, wait a minute, all this buildup, there must be something else going on. And could it be that he's trying to promote to prompt something to happen? You know, a concern a lot of people have is that the left in the United States is trying to promote some kind of collapse. Well, we're out of time, though. I thank you for listening tonight, and God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.